St. Thomas of Cori, Confessor, First Order. St. Thomas was born at Cori near Velletri in the Roman Campania in the year 1655, and in baptism received the name of Francis Anthony. His parents were poor shepherds, but very pious Christians, who by their virtuous teachings and good example reared their children in the fear of God. It seemed that little Francis Anthony had in a very special manner inherited the gift of piety from them. His innocent demeanor and fervent devotion so distinguished him among his companions that he was quite generally called the Little Saint. He pursued his higher studies with great diligence and success in a school conducted by a devout canon of his native town. However, the poverty of his parents soon compelled him to discontinue his studies and to return to his father's flocks. But even in the quiet pastures amid the cliffs and the woods, he never desisted from prayer and study. When both of his parents had died, Thomas sold the flocks which he had inherited from them, presented the proceeds to his two sisters for their dowry, and then asked to be admitted into the convent of the Friars Minor at Cori. He was received in February 1677 and was sent to the novitiate at Orvieto, where he was invested under the name of Thomas. With redoubled fervor, he progressed from virtue to virtue. At Viterbo and Velletri, he studied philosophy and theology with marked success. And finally, when he was 28 years old, he celebrated his first Holy Mass amid tears of devotion and joy in the convent at Velletri. After he had spent some time at Orvieto filling the office of novice master with much zeal and success, he begged his superiors to allow him to retire to the exceptionally strict convent of Civitella near Subiaco, situated in a wild mountainous solitude, in order to sacrifice his life to God in strict penance, ceaseless prayer and work. Later on, when he was appointed superior of this house, he instilled into his brethren such love for religious discipline that Civitella soon became the model convent of the province. He developed his companions into a band of zealous and courageous men who traveled as missionaries to India and to China. One of them received the crown of martyrdom. His ardent wish to go with them was never fulfilled. Instead, the provincial superiors assigned him to the Roman Campania in the desert mountain region of Subiaco as his permanent field of labor. Here Thomas labored with the fiery zeal of a Paul for the space of 20 years, so that he was generally called the Apostle of Subiaco. When there was question of gaining souls, no journey was too distant or wearisome. Snow and rain, heat and cold, fatigue and vigils, hunger, thirst, and the painful wounds which the sharp stones made on his bare feet were borne by him with holy joy. As a reward for all this hardship, he saw great bands of sinners approach in order to be reconciled with God through him, who was at the same time gifted in reading hearts. He was often compelled to spend whole days and even nights without interruption in the holy tribunal of penance. Here it was also that, as a 74-year-old man, Thomas was attacked by a severe hemorrhage, which brought him to his deathbed. With heavenly patience and amid continuous prayer, he continued to suffer severe pain for several days, until, with the crucifix in one hand and an image of the Blessed Virgin in the other, he went to his eternal reward while pronouncing the holy names of Jesus and Mary. It was on the day and at the hour he had himself foretold, January 11th, 1729. His body reposes before the high altar in the convent church of Civitella. Pius VI beatified him, on August 18, 1786, and St. John Paul II canonized him in 1999. Saintly youth. When our divine Lord saw the little children gathered about him, brought there by their mothers, he said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he embraced them and blessed them. Mark 10:14-16. But how much more lovingly will he look down upon children from the heights of heaven, if, like our little saint, they distinguish themselves by piety and virtue. We may be sure that God often spares an entire household because of one innocent child, and that its prayer accomplishes more than that of all the other members. And granting that the child develops in grace and virtue, along with its growth in years, how pleasing to God must such a virtuous young man or devout young woman be? The cynical world says, "Youth will be served." And under this plea, it would have us condone all the vices of the young. But the holy youths Aloysius and Stanislaus, as well as our Thomas, together with Saint Agnes, Elizabeth, and numerous others, prove by their brilliant virtues that this attitude is false. One should rather say, "Virtue's truth rhymes with youth." Or are people to dedicate the flower of life to the world and to vice, and then, when the flower has withered away, consecrate the leavings to God? Would you like to enjoy a happy youth? Then remain close to God. He it is who gives joy to my youth. Psalm 42:4. Consider to what extent our temporal and eternal welfare depends upon the practice of virtue during the time of youth. The proverb says, "What you have learnt to do in your youth, you will naturally do when you are old." And the Holy Spirit confirms this with the statement, "A young man according to his way, even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Proverbs 22:6. This can be applied to good habits as well as to evil ones. He who in his youth is not concerned about overcoming lesser faults will by and by commit greater ones and will easily perish. But if we learn in our youth to deny ourselves, as St. Thomas of Cori did, to sacrifice our wishes, even good ones, and to bear poverty and want with patience, then we shall have the necessary strength to brave the storms of life, and we shall be prepared to endure cheerfully all labor and sacrifice for the good of our neighbor and the honor of God. With how much greater pleasure can such a person look back upon his youthful years than he who served only the world and sensual pleasures? Consider the terrible responsibility he draws down upon himself who leads an innocent young man or a virtuous young woman into sin. It were better for him, our divine Savior tells us, that a millstone should be hanged about his neck and that he should be drowned in the depths of the sea. Matthew 8:6. This condemnation should not astonish us. Since the seducer robs God of a soul, he often ruins the young person's chances for the rest of his life, and with them, not infrequently, also the high hopes of an entire family, plunging it into nameless woe. Yet such serious misfortune can be caused in an apparently innocent manner. A sarcastic remark, teasing someone because of his piety, his modest reserve, his submissiveness, may all lead up to it. Endeavor rather, like St. Thomas, to encourage youth in the practice of virtue. That is one of the noblest acts of charity. Prayer of the Church. O God, who didst adorn St. Thomas of Cori, who was inflamed with thy love, with the gift of interior mortification, and an extraordinary love of his neighbor, grant us through his intercession and merits that we may deny ourselves out of love for thee, and by the constant practice of works of charity, deserve to arrive at the eternal reward. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. St. Thomas of Cori, pray for us. Thank you.